Hi, this is Andrew.
And this is Amy. And this week, AADL talks to Lawrence Kestenbaum, Washtenaw County Clerk and Register of Deeds.
Debbie talks to Mr. Kestenbaum about the redistricting that occurs after the census numbers come out, the latest process, and how Washtenaw County will look different for upcoming elections.
Can you tell us a little about yourself and how you came to be Washtenaw County Clerk?
I've been involved in politics one way or another most of my life, I'm also an attorney, and I have graduate work at Cornell in historic preservation and city regional planning. The county clerks in Washtenaw County, it's one position. The county clerk and register of deeds, those two positions have been combined. So it's a kind of serendipitously, it's a job that combines many things that I'm interested in, land records, the court system, the jury system, election law. Vital records, genealogy, all those different kinds of things that in the same position. I was elected in 2004, defeating my predecessor, and reelected unopposed in 2008. I'm the first Democrat to hold the position in 7 decades, and the first college graduate in 7 decades.
The county commission recently approved a redistricting plan that reduces the number of county commissioners from 11 to 9. Why does the county commission have to redraw its districts every 10 years?
Well, first of all, the body that redraws the districts is the Apportionment Commission, which is a 5-member body independent from the Board of Commissioners itself, or what is often called the county commission. The Apportionment Commission consists of the county clerk, the county prosecuting attorney, the county treasurer, and the chairs of the two major parties in the county. So this body convenes every 10 years after each census. Under the 14th Amendment and the U.S. Constitution, as it's been understood over the years, equal protection of the laws requires that constituencies for electing representatives to a body of government such as the county board, should reflect population equality and so on between districts, so that every person in the community has an equal representation in decision making.
Who redraws the U.S. congressional districts and the state House of Representatives and the state Senate districts?
In Michigan and in most states, that's done by the state legislature. Michigan did have an apportionment commission at the state level, but the apportionment commission was never able, it had an equal number of members of the two parties, and it was never able to settle on a plan in its entire existence. And eventually, in 1982, the state Supreme Court essentially ruled it out of existence, and which was really, I suppose, it wasn't a loss because it wasn't productive. In the days when the Apportionment Commission was in charge of it, and also any time that, for example, there might be a divided authority between the governor and the two houses of the legislature, very often, the congressional districts and the state legislative districts redesigning them falls to the courts in some fashion. The districts, our congressional districts were redrawn by courts over and over again. Since the 60s. Only in relatively recent years has the legislature done it.
Mm. Briefly, how has Washtenaw County changed from 2000 to 2010?
Well, Washtenaw County, unlike the state as a whole and unlike some of the surrounding counties, Washtenaw County has grown significantly in the last 10 years. The growth has been greatest in the suburban townships surrounding Ann Arbor, particularly Scioto Township and Pittsfield Township. And at the same time, there has been a decline in the population of the city of Ypsilanti and a small decline in the city of Ann Arbor. So there's an ongoing shift toward toward suburban areas that's, I'm sure, the case in many areas. Basically because as a long-term trend, this goes back to well before 2000, the number of people per housing unit has been declining as you have, for example, single individuals living in a house by themselves. You have parents with fewer kids living with them. And so any area that doesn't have new construction, from census to census, if it has the same number of housing units, it's going to have fewer people. And Ann Arbor had a significant amount of new construction, but that was counteracted by the ongoing decline in the number of people per housing unit.
How does the county go about the process of redistricting?
Well, the Apportionment Commission is required to meet, again, in these 10-year intervals, is required to meet, adopt rules, and it's also required by statute to adopt a plan for districting within 60 days from when the census data is released. So the census data was actually released for most purposes in March. The statute was written in the days when this was all done on paper, and you really couldn't do anything until you had all this paper in front of you. Now that these things are released online, there was actually some uncertainty as to what would count as the date of publication of the census data. And the Bureau of Elections settled that by saying it was April 6th. It was the date that the Bureau of Elections sent the official letter to all the counties. So that meant that the deadline for completing our work was June 6th. The Apportionment Commission, give it enough flexibility to draw a plan that, you know, represent the different areas of the county in a reasonable way, has a very broad discretion as to the number of districts and therefore the number of members of the County Board of Commissioners. For a county the size of Washtenaw County, the minimum number is 5 and the maximum number is 21. And the plans that we had before us, there was a 5-district plan on the and a 21-district plan. Those were not, I think, seriously considered, but those were the extremes of what's allowed under the law.
So you had public meetings, private meetings?
Well, the Apportionment Commission is a public body. It's covered by the Open Meetings Act. All of our meetings were public, and we had media coverage. We had a public comment at the beginning and end of every meeting, in addition to public hearings that we held. We met in various parts of the county. We met at Pittsfield Township Hall. We met at Webster Township Hall, and we also met at Ypsilanti Township Hall, in addition to meetings in the county building in downtown Ann Arbor. We had, I would say, a limited amount of interest this cycle. 10 years ago, there was a considerably more interest. The meetings were extremely well attended, and there was a lot of controversy. This time around, there was much less controversy. There was much less public interest. I think part of that might be attributable to not having a daily paper any longer to stir up interest in this sort of thing. And partly, I think 10 years ago, there was a very live issue at the time of police services, where the County Board of Commissioners was implementing a plan to require that the areas receiving police services from the Sheriff's Department pay for those services in a systematic way. Prior to that, some areas had paid, some areas had not paid, and it didn't seem to make any difference, what kind of coverage they were getting from the Sheriff's Department. Because obviously this was something that affected township budgets and township tax rates. There was, among those who had to pay for for police services for the first time, there was a lot of anger at the Board of Commissioners, and a lot of resolutions were passed by township boards urging a smaller commission. And at that time, the outcome of the process was that the number of districts, and therefore the size of the board, was reduced from 15 to 11. And that was, again, accompanied by a great deal of controversy.
Does reducing the number of commissioners then, at least to their mind, increase the power of the townships on the board? Was that the reasoning behind?
I think that it was a little bit more complicated than that. I think that there was the sense that one way they could get back at the county board was to reduce the number and therefore put a number of commissioners off the board. The other reason was, I think, and this is my assessment, not something that I can point to any proof of, but the one commissioner who was the strongest advocate for the townships in this controversy was Joe Yaculis from the Chelsea area. And the sense was that Joe Yaculis was popular enough that no matter how small the board was, he would still have a district and be on the board. And the fewer the number of districts, the larger his voice would be. So I think it had something to do with the personalities as well as, the just the structure of the of the board and the number of commissioners. At the end of the process 10 years ago, the two plans that were under consideration at the final meeting, there was a 9-district plan and there was an 11-district plan. And the people who came to the meeting and who had advocated for as few commissioners as possible saw the difference between the 9-district and the 11-district plan and realized that the 9-district plan had features that they didn't like, that the as a result of, you know, the fewer, just based on the population distribution, it meant that the entire west part of the county was in a single district, whereas under the 11-district plan, Chelsea and Manchester, were in different districts. You know, and Manchester was in a district with Celine. So I was at that meeting, and I recall members of the public coming up and saying, "Well, I thought I was coming here to say to support the 9-district plan, but I think I like the 11-district plan better." And ultimately, the apportionment commission chose the 11-district plan by a 3-2 vote.
Well, that brings us up to date to the 2011. There were 11 plans up for consideration. What were some of the considerations that the commission had to assess in deciding how many county commission districts there should be and how they should be drawn? And especially if you could talk to that whole controversy over islands.
The Ann Arbor, the city of Ann Arbor has really, I think, the most screwed up municipal boundary in the state of Michigan. It used to be a lot worse than it is today, but there are still at least 100 different islands or enclaves of township territory surrounded by the city of Ann Arbor. I think that in the past there may have been a practice at the time of an annexation to allow people, individual property owners, to opt out of the annexation, and a number did, because the being annexed to the city would mean more services, but also mean a higher tax rate. So the people who were not looking for those services, say they already had their septic field, or they had well water, they didn't need city water and sewer, they felt they would opt out of it, and so their properties would become an island in the within the city. Because of those islands, it's really impossible, for example, even if there were 5 districts, to take all of the different pieces of Ann Arbor Township and put them in one district. That would not be possible. I mean, because they are spread out across the face of Ann Arbor, basically all the way down to Scio Church Road, there are islands of Ann Arbor Township mixed in with the cities. And south of Scio Church Road, there are islands of Pittsfield Township. And west of Maple Road, there are islands of Scio Township. So the islands are kind of a systematic problem, but although there is a strong policy objective of trying to keep, you know, the political jurisdictions, the cities and townships, together in one piece, when the jurisdiction itself is not contiguous, that's a lot harder to do. So that was the focus of a lot of the controversy or the discussion within the board of the Apportionment Commission. And the question was also, you know, to what extent was it important to, you know, to draw districts so as to connect those township islands back to the township, the main part of the township that they belong to, or the interests of, let's say, the residents of Ann Arbor who would have been included by that. The legal guidelines and the court decision in 1982, the Supreme Court decision that rules county commission redistricting, also make a strong policy point of keeping city residents and township residents generally in different districts. Cities and townships do have different interests in the county, and to the extent possible, we're directed to keep those areas separate. What we did in this case, most of the Ann Arbor districts are surrounded by, you might call the Ann Arbor Beltway, the freeway ring, and we used to a great extent the freeway ring itself as the boundary, such that islands of township that were within the freeway ring were part of city districts, and a few small areas of city that are outside the freeway ring were generally included in the districts with township. But that was the policy behind that, as far as I was concerned, for a number of reasons. One of them is that because there's ongoing annexations all the time, these islands and peninsulas or whatever, these different areas, there's constantly annexations going on. Someone discovers that their septic field no longer works. They need to hook up to city city sewer, city water, and they decide that they need to be annexed. And at that point, if they're annexed, then the boundary changes. And you know whether that eliminates an island or creates a little dent in some island that exists or something like that. And so I really didn't want to see us following, even where it wasn't a case of an actual island, following you know these various jagged boundaries that were subject to change. The freeway ring is not subject to change. The other reason is that my very strong objective in this was to have the boundaries in the districts as simple as possible, as clear and logical, so that people could understand them. You know, imagine the way a voter would interact with this particular map would be, squinting at a little tiny, map that showed, what districts were where, to decide, on the eve of the election, which list of candidates should I be looking at for, choosing for the county board of commissioners, and for the commissioner representing a district, who is in their district, who should be campaigned to. The more complicated the boundaries are, the more difficult all of those things become, the more costs that imposes on everyone. I think that we succeeded to a great extent in making the boundaries, very simple and straightforward. But the law says that the district should be square and compact, and I would, my gloss on that, I guess, is that they should be bounded in simple ways with natural boundaries.
The public commentary at the last meeting, when it was actually adopted, were you satisfied that on the whole you weren't getting, a lot of negative feedback on the plan, or do you think it was just so new to everyone that evening that it was difficult to assess the public comment, that they had come already prepackaged?
I think that the majority of the public comments that we received, not just at the final meeting, but at all the other meetings and the three public hearings, the majority of the comments were along the lines of wanting as little change as possible, saying that the districts that we have work well, that we should come up with a plan that was similar to the plan now, if not identical. We could not have a plan that was identical to the current districts because of population shifts that made some districts smaller in population, others larger, and it's legally necessary and constitutionally necessary that the districts be equalized. The plan that involved the least change to the current districts, the current 11 districts, was actually a 12-district plan, reflecting the changing distribution of population by creating a new district that covered almost all of Scio Township, mm-hmm. and the residents and officials from Scio Township had come to us saying, pointing out that in the districting 10 years ago, Scio Township was shattered really into a half a dozen pieces. To equalize the population in other districts, which meant that Scio Township had no distinctive voice of its own, and it was the minority in a number of different districts that had, obviously other concerns. The 12-district plan created a district which consisted of Scio Township and the outer parts of Ann Arbor Township, which are similar areas, and then retained all the other districts in more or less the form that very similar to the form that they're in now. The 12-district plan, however, as it was drawn, did not get majority support from the commission. The 9-district plan that was ultimately adopted, which all of us had some hand in, it was originally proposed by the prosecutor Brian Mackey. It was modified by Treasurer McCleary and myself, and further modified in response to a concern by the Republican chair, Mr. Boonstra. And so ultimately, when we voted on that plan, it had unanimous support from the members of the commission.
Well, now let's talk about the consequences. How will it work?
Okay.
Are commissioners going up against each other?
Well, the way this works is that currently we're in the term for the county commission that runs from January 1st, 2011, to December 31st. 2012, and the commissioners for that term were elected in November of 2010. The new board will take office in January 1st of 2013, and at that point there will be 9 members as opposed to 11 members until that point. There are 11 incumbents on the board. And so those 11 incumbents are, living in the nine new districts. There are two cases where there are two commissioners in the same, two incumbent commissioners in the same district. In the 8th district, Commissioners Lee Gunn and Yusuf Rabi are in the same district. And in, I believe it's the 3rd district, Commissioner Alicia Ping and Wesley Prater are in the same district. My understanding is that Commissioner Gunn and Commissioner Prater are both retiring from the board. So I don't expect to see a race involving more than one incumbent in any of these districts. Obviously, in many cases, the districts are not the same as they were, or there may be different issues, different interests. None of the incumbents certainly are guaranteed reelection. In some cases, the district that they will be running for in 2012 is different in terms of its population balance and so forth as the district that they have run in previously. So very often, the first election under a new districting, there's a lot of competition, new people coming into the picture and so forth. I should also mention that Commissioner Bergman, Barbara Bergman from the in the new 7th district, I think she's currently in the 8th district, she's retiring, or she has said she's retiring, and so the that would be a new district, not a new district, but a district without an incumbent. So I would expect to see a pretty spirited contest for that seat.
So that's
in the east side of Ann Arbor.
We could have a very wide open campaign as far as the number of people involved in the primaries for each party.
Absolutely. And I think, the trend has been really from the late 70s until recently that there have been fewer and fewer people willing to run for office and to engage in these kinds of contests. But I think in the last few years, I'm hopeful that there's been a bit of a resurgence, that younger people are becoming involved, and so we may well see some new faces on the board and new faces in local politics.
Are there any further legal issues as far as the adoption of the final plan? Is it fully adopted at this point constitutionally, legally?
It is fully adopted at this point. There have been two requests that we reopen the plan to make slight adjustments in it. I have not consulted the other commissioners to see if they would be willing to do that. My sense is that they would not be. But we're going to consider that. Both of those would be very minor changes. One of them is the request that the portion of the village of Chelsea that's in Webster Township be included in the district that the rest of the village is in. And the reason for that is that the village of Chelsea is looking to become the city of Chelsea. At least that's the plan of some folks who are working on that. And that if the entire village is in one district, then the entire city would be in one district. In the short run, however, by doing that, it would be splitting a township, splitting Webster Township to accomplish that, which would run in the other direction. So it's a judgment call as to whether that is something that we want to do. The other one is a request to modify, again, a small area in the city of Ann Arbor, that there's a neighborhood that feels that they're being divided by a line and that the line could be adjusted. We could do those things, but I don't know if we will or not. But as far as if we take no further action, if there's no legal challenge, yes, the plan is fully adopted.
And when you say legal challenge, where would they take a legal challenge like that?
Under the statute that sets up county boards of commissioners, any challenge to the districts adopted by the apportionment commission will go directly to the state court of appeals. And so there has been over the years a great many cases, a lot of litigation over county commission districting within the Court of Appeals, and sometimes it reaches the Supreme Court. I don't anticipate that there will be any appeal against these districts. I think that having a unanimous vote for the plan speaks well of the work that we did. It's also a good thing from the standpoint that the county would have to financially support the defending the plan in court, I think that is not going to be necessary. 10 years ago, there was some talk of a court challenge. It didn't materialize. One aspect of a court challenge, though, is that as far as the courts are concerned, as far as the Court of Appeals is concerned, the Apportionment Commission has absolute discretion to choose a number of districts within the legal range for that size of county, so that someone who was dissatisfied with the number of districts, the court would reject a challenge like that. Only the they can challenge the alignment of the districts, the district boundaries, not the number.
Does the commission have to meet again at all, just for those challenges and that? If the
plan was challenged and was thrown out, very likely the Court of Appeals would order the commission to reconvene and come up with a new plan. Mm-hmm. As I said, I don't anticipate that. I believe that the deadline for challenges is coming up, if not passed already. I'm not sure what it is. But there's a short deadline, obviously, because we need to create the districts and have them be settled so that we can move forward with election administrations and so forth. But unless we decide we want to reconvene and make the changes that I just mentioned, there's no need to meet again until 10 years from now.
If you'd like to learn more about the 2011 redistricting plan for Washtenaw County, go to ewashtenaw.org/government and click on the Clerk Register of Deeds link.
Music for this episode was Walla Walla by Drop Trio, which you can find on the AADL catalog by going to aadl.org/magnitude. AADL Talks to Lawrence Kestenbaum has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.